Greetings, Saints. My name is Apostle Deirdre, and I'm part of the Restored Spiritual Government of God. Today, I'm going to be expounding from the Book of Colossians, from Chapter 1, and I'll be reading from verses 1 to 5. Now, what stood out to me in these verses was the importance of stewardship, and how stewardship is a blessing to all of us, which is also why the title of this teaching today is called The Blessing of Stewardship. But first, to create the context from God's covenant perspective, when I speak about blessing, I'm talking about spiritual increase by the anointing, our growth, our increased understanding, the continued joy that we experience as we labor in fellowship with God. These are the things through which we are blessed, in other words, increased, and likewise through which we bless the Lord, returning that increase through our spiritual tithes and through the charity that we share. Without stewardship, we would not be able to partake of this wondrous miracle of increase through which we experience the divine power for the divine change. Now that the true Church of God has been restored back to her first love, Jesus Christ, we understand the value of stewardship and how God has always elected a steward to instruct his people, which is consistent to his character, his purpose, and his plan. So now that we have a little bit of that context, let's read those verses from Colossians. I'm starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope that which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So let's start with verse 1. Here Apostle Paul is identifying his position as the steward by the will of God, not by man, but by God. Jesus also made this reference to himself as the steward, as we read in Luke 12 verse 49 when he said, I'm come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindles? Jesus was identifying himself as the steward and the knowledge that he was sharing. Jesus was saying that the knowledge he shared would ignite fire within the heart and made the connection between the fire in the heart, the knowledge, and the tether of his stewardship. That thread is the tether of our sanctification that joins us to God. We read in 1 Samuel 2 verse 3 that God is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Apostle Paul also references this tether and the knowledge in Romans 10 verse 2 when he says, For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Apostle Paul was speaking from the authority of the calling, just as Jesus was speaking as the token and the mediator of our faith. The anointing provides the fulcrum for discernment because our faith is tethered to the hub of stewardship. God bears witness to faith that embraces the record of Jesus Christ, which contains his covenant commandments, his tools, and his knowledge. This speaks of our tether of sanctification through which we are tethered to God through Jesus Christ. When Jesus spoke about igniting the fire in the heart, he was referencing the power of his knowledge through the anointing, which purges and cleanses us daily to prepare us for our inheritance. We, being of the house of Eva, are instructed and prepared in the way of the Lord in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And Apostle Eric, as the steward of God's house in the second eighth week, continues to put us in mind of this perspective, which is to keep the fire upon the altar burning, so that the fire of the anointing keeps bright our hope as we set Christ before us. Our repentance is sealed by this obedience of faith in the activity of our priesthood. As we remain tethered to God through his stewardship, we are also under the oversight of the angels of God that minister to us these coals of knowledge and the tokens of his revelation to keep us in the momentum of reflecting, rehearsing, and reciprocating as our ongoing labor of love and our responsibility towards God. As we have been entrusted with these things, we continue to be mindful of our responsibility to build the house of God by the Spirit and not to be ensnared with earthly things that are only temporal. So going back to verse 1, where Apostle Paul speaks of being an apostle of Jesus Christ, he is identifying the new covenant commandments and not that which is of Moses, which is the old covenant commandments. Apostle Paul is speaking of a transition from the physical to the spiritual that is now tied to Jesus Christ. The old covenant commandments identified faith with those tokens which God sanctified for their field at that time, which was earthly things. And receiving those earthly things, they also had an earthly inheritance, and they were put under the stewardship of kings, judges, and prophets, and also the priesthood, as we see in the book of Judges and also in the book of Samuel. Samuel was a priest and a judge, and through his stewardship the people were put in mind of their responsibility to the covenant and the keeping of his commandments. Apostle Paul brings his calling to the attention of those he is writing to as those under his stewardship and his oversight. The knowledge that he is sharing with them, he is stewarding with this redeeming knowledge to teach them the responsibility of those who function in the house of Jesus. Those under the first covenant, being under Moses' stewardship, had to be cleansed and they had to be taught their responsibility. Moses received the commandments, and he shared these commandments with his brother. His brother, being older than Moses, was in servitude to Moses, as the elder shall serve the younger. Moses' stewardship was teaching that of the priesthood, which Aaron, being the elder, was to perform for the sanctification of the people, because he bore the iniquity of the sanctuary and the iniquity of the people. He was responsible for their faith. Can you see the connection between stewardship and the priesthood? If they would reciprocate to his priesthood, through this they would receive the covering of that refuge. This is the pattern of the priesthood and the transition that Apostle Paul is speaking of when he says, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He was highlighting that he was a steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that by the knowledge that he was sharing, they, being of Colossae, would be bound to God through tokens of fire, just as we read earlier in Luke. And likewise today, through the sanctified stewardship of Apostle Eric von Andersick, we are bound to God through Christ because we remain in the place of his sanctification and honor the stewardship of his choosing. I was reminded of what Jesus said to his apostles in Luke verse 10. He said, the harvest truly is ready, but the laborers are few. Not only does this speak of the consenters and the distinct privilege that we have to be partakers of his plan in this time, it also speaks about the knowledge necessary for faith to bring the harvest to the table to increase the house of God. We see this in Deuteronomy chapter 28 concerning these blessings, where God put a sign upon their faith with the manifestations. I will put a sign upon your faith by these manifestations, that you are the true people of God. God did this with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The same pattern of the Spirit is evident today upon those who accept the steward of his house. The Spirit of God rests upon those who carry the yoke of his covenant by faith. And as we continue to increase the house of God by the Spirit, we are a blessing to each other and a beacon of light and hope to those who are seeking. We are following the pattern of faith that Abram showed in reciprocating the revelation that God gave to him by separating himself from his father's house. Because of that, a new priesthood emerged, and a sign was given to show in this token of separation by the circumcision which God revealed to Abram. And that was passed on from that covenant to the patriarchs, who also carried that into the covenant of Moses. Moses carried that tradition to show the bonding for the mating for increase, to carry that sign in other words, and also to show the bonding for the purity of the faith. Likewise today, we carry the evidence of the circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, which reflects our tether to Jesus Christ by his sanctification. We carry that same perspective that Apostle Paul is referencing to the saints under his care, being of the house of Eva and carrying the sign of sonship in our conscience. Moving on to verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The saints are those who are sanctified, because we carry that sign and token of the seal. This is the reward of our faith. God continually rewards us with gifts, as he did with Abram, and as he did also with Isaac, and also with Jacob, changing the names from Abram to Abraham, and from Jacob to Israel. There was a name change for the lot which he prepared for them, and Isaac carried the tradition of his father Abram, as he says, I am the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. God put the blessing upon them, and they carried that tradition of faith too. And by that same tradition, they remained separated from the people of the world and from those who did not follow the true education of faith, but rather followed the education of the aspiration that is rooted in the false gospel, born of false knowledge. The education of the aspiration destroys a nation, but the education of one's faith will preserve it. And by sanctified stewardship, we have received the true education of faith as God had intended, which is consistent with his ways throughout the centuries. For God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's important to understand that when Apostle speaks of the saints, he's not speaking to a general public. As I had mentioned, he's rather speaking to those who are sanctified and who are functioning in his care and under his oversight. Those who, as we read in Luke, it's they who walk according to the power of the fire as the anointing ignites understanding to increase by the Spirit. And likewise we, as the sanctified ones of God, walk in the same power and carry the same pattern of faith by the purging fire of the anointing. We walk according to Christ Jesus our Lord and according to those things which sanctify, which has to do with the things of the Spirit. Those who are spiritually minded identify with those things that are spiritual. Unto the spiritual are all things spiritual. We understand the tokens of fire, and we labor with each token to bring increase to the house of God, even as our soul expands with the increase and enlarging of the heart. Those outside of his stewardship, outside his house, do not experience this power, nor do they understand the value of spiritual things. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Instead, the carnal-minded put their faith in earthly things, which contaminates their faith. Our faith is that which is of the heavenly things, which we set our affection on, for the things above, and not on the things of the earth. We see this also in Colossians 3 verse 2. If you then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above. We do this because we have accepted the terms of the covenant that Jesus shed his blood for. Having accepted his covenant, we too accept the terms and the conditions of his covenant, even as Jesus said to his apostles as the stewards of the first 8th week. Reading from Matthew 26, verse 27 to 29. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink you all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many of the remission of sins. Here Jesus was sharing the representation of himself in the tokens that would represent him upon his death, and through which he would establish the covenant that bears his name. By his blood, he established the tether of our sanctification in this new and better covenant. This is the prophetic path that we walk on today. We are keeping in true tradition of the first century church. That which they received, we are keeping in true tradition of today through the anointing. and we observe these spiritual blessings that God has provided to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. We partake of this spiritual blessing by the union of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, even as we read, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Having the knowledge of truth laid in our heart as the foundation upon which faith is built, through this we are able to understand the power of the witness and the record in this union, without which faith is not living. The witness from above being God our Father, and the record of our faith in Jesus Christ. This is a mystery which the carnal-minded do not understand, because their faith stands outside the house of God. Only when one enters the covenant of Jesus Christ and functions in the priesthood with the oversight and the instruction of stewardship, do we learn the value of this joining and what it means for our walk of faith with God. All these things were provided for us and prepared for us in the bosom of our Father, even as God spoke when Jesus was baptized, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God was pointing to Jesus as the token for our faith, and that our journey will be completed in Him alone. God our Father is the governor of our destiny, and by these tokens of fire that He gives to us ignites our faith. Our faith is built on this holy union of the witness and the record. As Jesus mediates our faith, we are able to have a relationship with God because we have access to Him through His Son. This union of the witness and the record makes living our faith, that we may experience the power and the presence of God in the anointing as we fellowship with Him in the communion of His priesthood. Verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. When Apostle Paul speaks here of giving thanks, he is speaking about this holy union that we are partakers of, through which we experience the bonds of charity and the fire of the anointing. It is this bond that unifies us as one in His house. As the first century saints were of the house of God by the tether of their sanctification, so are we one with God through that which represents Him in this the second eighth week. His stewardship represents Him, and our faith reflects Jesus Christ. We are accepted as faithful servants in His house because we bear this likeness through the sanctification of the Spirit. This is clear when Apostle Paul references God and our Father, which speaks of the throne of God and Jesus as the door to the Father's bosom. Our faith is mediated through these covenant terms that Jesus established for our faith. When we accept these terms, we are joined to Him by His mediation. For Jesus is the door that we enter the presence of God. We have the remission of sin through the refuge of His stewardship, because we honor God through that which He sanctified as we accept His covenant terms and conditions. Jesus shed His blood for the new and the better covenant, sanctifying the knowledge and the tools for our joining to Him. And when we accept the terms of His covenant, we accept that which represents Him in His fullness, and God sees the face of His Son in our faith. By His propitiation, we are justified by faith. As the steward of that time, David made intercession for Israel regarding the judgments of God, through which his petition saved Israel, because he kept the anointing of the Father. And because of the anointing that was upon David, Israel was preserved, and its borders were expanded. So also, because of the anointing which is within us, the borders of our soul are continuously expanding, as the heart is enlarged through the anointing, as we worship God in spirit and in truth. We worship God by the tools and the knowledge, just as Jesus said in John 4, verse 24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship must worship Him in spirit and in truth." The heart is enlarged, just as the borders of Israel were enlarged by the anointing that was upon the stewardship of David, by which they received remission and refuge. Here again, we see the consistencies of God's character between the stewardship and our increase in Him, by which we partake of the blessing. We see this also when Aaron ran into the midst of the people when the plague began, and he stood between the living and the dead. Reading from Numbers 16, verse 47 to 48. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people, and he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. What does this tell us about the power of the priesthood and its joining to the stewardship of God? Through the priesthood of Jesus Christ, the Spirit dwells within us, allowing us to stand between the living and the dead. Because we are born into this dimension of flesh and death, we experience the contradiction of this dimension daily, through which we exercise the power of reason with faith to make distinctions for God and to build His house. By taking refuge in stewardship, the Spirit of life is present to aid faith through the choices that we make for God. This means that we live by the mercy of God daily as we reason in faith. Despite the many faces of death, we are sustained by the power of God Himself, who established a pattern for our overcoming. And by this pattern, we discern death's presence and the places in which death hides, and we use the fire tokens of His grace to instead live to God. So though death is present, we live by the power of the anointing, and in turn experience the grace and the peace of God to aid and transition our faith as we increase in His likeness. Stewardship is that blessing through which we partake of the life of Christ, with the evidence of living faith in that union of the record and the witness, and our continued growth by the anointing. We stand between the living and the dead through the priesthood of Jesus Christ, which the Lord has given unto us. As we continue to make supplication through our prayers and our petitions, and our continued offerings of charity, we have remission of sin, and our iniquities are covered by the incense of charity, just as the cloud of incense that Aaron possessed within his incense holder when he stood between the living and the dead. Verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. When Apostle Paul speaks about we here, he is speaking about we as the apostles, as the stewards of the mystery of Christ. By the scale of stewardship, the faith of the saints can be gauged. Stewardship keeps the gospel pure and maintains the sanctification of truth in its integrity by speaking from the power of the calling and the charge through which each member of God's spiritual government has been tasked for the oversight and the growth of His church. This is the blessing of God that is hid in His stewardship, to increase His church by His power as we remain joined to Him through His government, truth, and spirit. By the sanctification we grow in His grace and likeness, and charity covers us as the cloud of incense through which we are justified by faith. This is what Apostle Paul is touching on and saying, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love. That's the point of sanctification, that our faith reflect this tether by the charity that cleanses us and bonds us as one under His headship. And then finally, verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The word hope here is what we are focusing on, as the Spirit brought to remembrance the definition of hope, which I'm going to share with you as I'm reading from the EVA Terms Glossary. The expectation is according to the promise, and all of God's promises are in Jesus Christ. Our expectation of faith is according to the record of Christ. Therefore, our hope is never cut off, for it is carried by the Spirit. God set Himself as the original record for all to follow to know Him. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but what does that mean? It means that faith works with the tokens of Jesus' new covenant. Every token provides substance for the reality of our hope. By our labor with the tools of Christ, the Spirit of God gives substance to our hope. thus giving evidence of Christ in our faith. Hope is not supposed to be a far-off goal, but a present living reality. God brings our hope near to us in Jesus Christ, even as the prophet Isaiah said, "I bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion, for Israel my glory." That's from Isaiah 46 verse 13. When life is viewed through Satan's forgery, then our hope is placed in the many philosophies that ring true, because it is true to the testimony of man, but it does not give substance for faith. The true hope of faith is where the Spirit carries the testimony of God within the soul. False hope is philosophical hope. It does not carry the testimony of God, carries the testimony of man. God daily gives substance to our hope to confirm our tethering to Him by providing tangible evidence of Christ through His Spirit. That's the end of the definition there. It's edifying to consider this connection the Spirit brings to our tension between stewardship and hope, because we would not experience substance to our hope if we did not first yield to and accept the gift of stewardship to the church. By the Spirit highlighting this connection, we are reminded of the importance and the value that God places upon stewardship, through which we experience substance to our hope by the anointing and the obedience of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. If we are not functioning in our priesthood, in other words, if we are outside the house of God, we won't experience the power of a living hope. Instead, hope would be yoked to the aspiration and the false gospel of the flesh, which wearies the will. Because we embrace all that which represents Jesus Christ, including His stewardship, we experience His hope which burns brightly in us as an ever-present reality of those promises that wait us, both now and in what is to come with eternal life. This is what we do daily as we set Christ before us. We walk on the prophetic path by the endurance of faith. We continue to faithfully build His house by the tokens of fire and the cloud of charity that ascends from our reciprocation and the stewarding of the same. And through this, the virtue of His grace inflates the heart with His presence as we behold the promises of God in all things. These are the things of God that we should build upon and cherish for the strengthening of the will, and to continue to run the race of faith. For it is these spiritual blessings that we value above the things of the world, knowing that which we labor for now holds eternal value. Thank you for joining me today. Again, this is Apostle Deirdre. If you would like to learn more about God's restored spiritual government, or how to transition into covenant, then please reach out to me via our website. You can find us at www.shw.org.